shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defence, brought to you by the FNX Network, My Sportswear and the Offside Trust, safeguarding children in football and other sports. No longer will our kids suffer. They are here to make a difference. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me this evening is Prince from Mia Samir TV. Prince, thanks for coming on the show, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure, mate. And you've got a smile on your face, which I wouldn't be too happy with, are you, given your performance or result last night?
Yeah, that's true. It's a fake smile. To be fair, I'm pretty angry at the result yesterday, and especially the referee. I don't think Real Madrid, I don't think it was undeserved that they won ultimately, but the referee, that absolutely cost us yesterday. So I'm not really happy about that.
Yeah, well, look, before we talk about the controversy surrounding the game, what's your take on Bayern's performance?
As a whole or just yesterday?
Well, just over two legs.
Yeah. Over two legs, I thought we were okay. I didn't think we were too good, especially in the first leg. I think the second half performance in the first leg was absolutely atrocious. But I think overall, we weren't that bad besides the second half performance in the first leg. Great, but just not really bad.
Mm. Well, look, let's talk about the incidents then, because we saw the two offside goals from Ronaldo. We had Vidal's two yellow cards. One of them being extremely dubious, to say the least. And Casemiro got away with basically four bookable fouls. I mean, what are your views on each incident?
It's difficult, because obviously the Vidal one wasn't a red card at all, in my opinion. But Casemiro, I mean, for me, a referee has to be consistent, ultimately. So if he gives Vidal the red card, he has to give Casemiro ultimately a red card as well. If he didn't give Vidal a red card, then it would be fine if he didn't give Casemiro. But considering how inconsistent he was, I think that was probably the biggest issue for me, the inconsistency. Because the referee can have an off day, absolutely, but being inconsistent is probably the worst thing that could happen in such a big match.
Absolutely. The thing is, Vidal's first booking, okay, it was his first foul, but normally any referee would have given that. But the second one, he's won the ball. I know the momentum has taken him into the player, but he's won the ball. You see where the ball's gone. To me, that's an absolutely scandalous decision. And if I were you guys, I'd be fuming.
The players are. Most of the fans are as well. Some are just sad. Some are angry. I think I'm a bit of both.
It's understandable. Well, was the damage done in the first leg, mate? Because I know Vidal missed that penalty, which ultimately was the turning point, I believe, anyway.
I think the first leg ultimately cost us, because I think we wouldn't... Because yesterday, I thought we were pretty cautious. I thought our approach was pretty cautious. We went for it, but we didn't really go all out attacking, and I think that's mainly because of the first leg, because I think if we didn't concede that many goals, if we didn't concede two goals, then I think we would have actually been much more attacking yesterday. So I think ultimately the first leg cost us, and that's just the way football is sometimes.
No, I agree, and the thing is, it's always easy to look back on these things and say, oh well, we could have done this and that better. But to be 100% fair, I mean, you were totally in control of the first half of that game. And had it not been for Vidal's penalty, the result would have been different. I mean, look, you know, your goalkeeper made a handful of saves in the second half, which obviously he had to because you were pushing forward. And in the second leg, you took him to extra time with 10 men, which is, again, you know, that's football, I'm afraid. But at the end of the day, Bayern Munich always going to be one of those teams that's going to be competing for the Champions League. And they will be back next season. But speaking of this current season, I mean, you got off to a flyer with five wins on the bounce in the Bundesliga, but dodgy October and November, they allowed Leipzig to take the chance to leapfrog yourselves. Now, if you fast forward a few months, as in now, Bayern are cruising at the top of the Bundesliga, 8 points clear of Leipzig and have a far superior goal difference. Yeah. Are you surprised with how this season has gone?
Yes, quite honestly, yes. I thought, especially with Ancelotti coming in, I thought that was going to be the biggest change. Obviously, changing a system, changing a style of play, and I thought it would take us a lot longer to adjust. So I was actually really surprised how good we were at the beginning of the season. Obviously, then we had a little hiccup. But especially after the winter break, I thought we were excellent, and I didn't really expect us to be that good this season. I thought maybe next season we'd do much better, but this season I thought it would be an okay season, to say the least, but not a great one, or good one.
I'll tell you what, take me back to when Guardiola took over. What was the first thing you initially thought? Because I know they had that year sabbatical in New York to get his head together, so to speak. And he came in with these fresh ideas. And we've obviously heard Philip Lahm and all these other players saying, oh, you know, he really opened our eyes and brought in different aspects of the game. What was the first thing you thought when you signed on the dotted line?
I was actually kind of shocked because we obviously had Heinke still at that point. And I thought he did a fantastic job the year before. And obviously then the year when we actually signed Guardiola, he won the treble. So that was a controversial decision. But I thought for the young players it would do well, because obviously Guardiola is known for trusting young players, whereas Heinke, he just had one formation, one team, and that team would play week in, week out. So I was looking forward to seeing how the young players would develop, but I didn't really have anything besides that on Guardiola itself. I didn't really think much besides that on Guardiola itself. Obviously, he's renowned for his passing, for his style of play, how he wants the team to play. But I don't know. I went in with a blank mind and just let myself be surprised.
And when he left?
It's kind of controversial, Guardiola, because a lot of fans think that he didn't do a good job. A lot of fans think that he did do a good job. I'm personally a camp that think that he did do a good job. I think the one thing that he didn't do was replace Robin and Ribery, which he was kind of brought in to do. But I think everything else, he did a very good job. I thought the style of system suited us. I thought we looked very attractive. We played attractive football, and we played some of the best football I've ever seen us play.
Fair point. Now, if you look at Lewandowski, he's got about 40 goals overall this season, and you've got the likes of Robin, Thiago, Ribery, Müller. They've all chipped in, but do you think you guys are relying too much on the Polish international?
Yes, absolutely. Last season, it was obviously different with Müller scoring a lot more, but this season, it's literally a one-man team. He's the only player that consistently scores, and a lot of fans for years now have been crying out for a second striker. But the board has just refused. They said that Lewandowski, he never gets injured anyway, so there's no point in getting a second striker. Now he's gotten injured before the match against Real Madrid in the first legs, which is kind of ironic. But yeah, we're very reliant on him. Normally, Robin, he scores a lot more as well this season. He hasn't really done that. He's been dangerous as usual, but he hasn't really scored much. And it's honestly all down to Lewandowski this season, and it's a bit worrying.
So what's happening with Müller anyway? Because every now and again, you see him come off the bench. And I know Ancelotti favours a one-man up front, but I remember under Guardiola, you used to have Müller in behind Lewandowski. So why is he out of favour? Is it an attitude thing?
No, it actually goes back to last season. Ever since the semi-final against Atletico Madrid, when he missed the penalty against Atletico Madrid, I could have ultimately seen us through to the final. His confidence has been down. Right. And it's just a mental thing, I think. You know, you can see it every time he even has a one-on-one chance against the keeper. He tries to pass it instead of take the shot. And he just seems really low on confidence. And the Euros, I don't think, helps him at all. I think what he needs is a long break. And once he gets that, I think he'll be back to normal.
Fair enough. Well, I've always been intrigued by Douglas Costa and Arturo Vidal. Now, both are extremely talented and gifted individuals, but their attitudes often let them down. What do you know about their off-the-field behaviour? I mean, do you think there's something going on between them and the club?
Vidal, I think, no. Quite frankly, I think Vidal, you know, when he does something wrong, it gets highlighted. But he doesn't really, I mean, he's got the attitude of being a kind of a bad boy, but he isn't really that kind of person. But Costa, on the other hand, he just doesn't seem to really care. And that's my biggest problem with him, is that he just doesn't seem to care. Now, in the first 6 months that he played, when he first joined, he looked excellent. I thought he was going to be one of the best players in the world. And then slowly and surely, he showed his true colours. And ultimately, once Ancelotti came and basically preferred Ribery and Robin over him, he just doesn't seem to care anymore. And I think that's telling. Whereas Vidal, Yes, he looks kind of violent in a sense that he wants to fight for every single ball, but ultimately he's quite a nice person, I'd say, on the field and off the field.
Fair enough. Well, nice people, you know, Lahm and Alonso, they've announced they'll be retiring in the season. I know Robin and Ribery, they're on the wrong side of 30. I mean, clearly there's depth and youth in the Bayern squad, no, but I'm thinking of Koeman, Renato Sanchez, Kimmich, just to name a few.
Yeah.
But is quality an issue?
Yes. I think quality and quantity. I mean, that's probably been a our weakest area ultimately is our youth. And it's telling that the last youth player that really came from our own academy, depends if you obviously count Alaba and Kroos, but the last true players were Batshuayi and Müller, and that was roughly 2009, 2010. So it's kind of telling that we really haven't had a youth product, and the youth product that we bought, such as Coleman, I mean, we haven't bought him yet, but we're ultimately going to buy him this month. Players like him, Kimmich and Sanchez, while they're good, I wouldn't really trust them right now to handle, I don't know, a big game against, say, Dortmund. They're just not there yet. Maybe in 2-3 years, yes, but right now it's not the case. And we just need better quality. We need better youth, and that's probably our weakest area.
So what would you say is the solution then? Because as I said, you know, you've got your players on the wrong side of 30. You've got two players, two very key influential players. They're retiring at the end of the season.
Yep.
You can't replace experience like that, but you can bring in alternatives. And can you see Ancelotti doing that? Do you think that he's going to have to spend big?
I'd actually imagine that Ancelotti would want to spend big, but the problem that Bayern is that it's not really his decision to make. It's the board. And the board, I mean, Uli Hoeneß especially, he prefers to buy German players other than, say, experienced players from foreign leagues that would cost a lot more. So although I think we should buy more expensive players, more quality players, Uli Hoeneß will probably prefer smaller players, players that still have a lot of talent and a lot of potential, but ultimately aren't there yet at the top level.
So I'll take it, Alexis Sanchez will be out of the question then.
Although the papers have been linking us to him, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we'd much rather go for someone smaller, such as Brandt, Gnabry, someone like that, you know, something... someone that isn't at that level just yet.
Oh, so you're basically looking at established Bundesliga players that probably won't cost so much?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, well, you know, we were speaking a bit about Ancelotti before, and Milan have got new owners. I've heard they're looking at bringing Ancelotti back to the club. Can you see him being a Bayern next season?
Yeah, absolutely. He's already come out and said that he would love to extend his contract at Bayern. So, I mean, his contract still runs for 2 more years. So it's kind of a miracle, I guess you could say, that he already wants to extend. And the board has already mentioned that they would want to extend with him. So I think he's going to stay.
What do you make of him so far? Because everywhere he's been, no one says a bad word about him. I remember when he was at Chelsea, all the Chelsea fans were absolutely gutted when he left. Mm-hmm. You know, he did so well at Milan. He's a winner, you know, won the European Cup with Real Madrid and Milan. Mm-hmm. What was the first thing you thought when he signed the dotted line?
I was a little bit scared mm-hmm. for the youth. I thought the young players such as Coleman, such as Kimmich, such as Sanchez wouldn't get time to play at all. But obviously he's known as being a character, a person that wins the Champions League. So on that aspect, I was looking forward to it as well. So yeah, I think that's really my two thoughts I had about Ancelotti, the youth aspect and Champions League aspect, two things that he's, I guess, most known for.
That's fair enough. The thing is, when I look at Bayern Munich, they're always going to be a club with, you know, held in such high prestige. You know, they've won how many Champions Leagues now? They're five?
Five, yeah.
Five Champions Leagues. You know, you've got Real Madrid that, you know, if they don't win La Liga, they have to win the Champions League. It's one or the other, if not both. Yeah. Now, if Bayern Munich win the title, which looks like it's going to happen, if you win the German Cup, which is a possibility, I know that Manuel Neuer is going to be out for the rest of the season, I believe. Yeah. But, you know, you've got Dortmund. I'm thinking more, he wins the double in his first season and he gets the semi-finals of the Champions League. It's not an unsuccessful season. It's not a failure, is it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like I said, the way we left the Champions League, I thought we held our heads high. So winning anything this season really is a positive. I mean, if we win the Bundesliga, I'd personally be happy. That's all I need, really. But obviously, a lot of fans, they want the treble. Treble or nothing, that's what they always say. So, I mean, the board will be happy. Bundesliga, the board will be happy. I personally will be happy. And anything else next season.
Fair enough. And next season, can you see Dortmund mounting a charge? Because I know their form has been somewhat sporadic this season.
Dortmund is a tricky one. I'd say Leipzig more than Dortmund. I think Dortmund, their problem is that they are too reliant on youth. and that when the youth show talent, when the youth show some sort of promise, that other teams especially look at them and think of Dortmund kind of like a selling club. Whereas Leipzig, they've got the money to hold onto the players. They've got the ambition to really challenge. Whereas I feel with Dortmund, it's just a case of we've got to maintain our current level, but let's not actually try and exceed it.
Fair enough. Now, you mentioned Leipzig. What is it about them that they're so hated in Germany? Because, I mean, I'm watching these highlights and I hear, you know, they're not fan favourites. You know, I mean, this is a team that could effectively break the stranglehold that Bayern Munich has on the Bundesliga. So what is it about them? Is it just the money?
It's not just the money. I mean, the whole business model is the problem. You know, in Germany, you have the 50+1 rule, which essentially means that 51% of the club has to be owned by the fans. So you can't have a foreign owner, for example, take over the club and then not spend or do anything with the club. So it is owned by the fans. And the problem with Leipzig is that they've got 12 members, I believe, and all of them are employers of Red Bull. So instead of being owned by the fans, the quote-unquote fans that own the club are Red Bull employees. So that's the big problem, that, you know, ultimately Red Bull owns the club. And I think that's probably the biggest issue that a lot of German fans have, a lot of Bundesliga fans have, that the tradition of club being fan-owned is broken by Leipzig.
Fantastic. Now, looking at the Bundesliga standings, I can see many names who've competed in the Champions League over the last decade or so, but most of them are sitting in mid-table. And you look at the likes of Hertha, who were in the Zweite Bundesliga about 4 years ago. I mean, they're challenging for the Europa League. Yeah. Now, if you take Bayern out of the equation, the Bundesliga is probably the most competitive league in the world, isn't it?
I'd say so, yeah. I think the Bundesliga is, in terms of quality, is very similar to the Premier League. I just think that Bayern is just a step above everything. I think, like I said, as you mentioned, if we take Bayern out of the equation, the Bundesliga would probably be the most competitive. I'd say it'd be on par with the Premier League, to say the least. Maybe exceed it, maybe not. And that all really depends on how Leipzig do next season.
That's a fair point. Now, before I let you go, can't not talk about the Premier League. How do you think the Premier League is perceived in Germany? Because obviously, there's a whole load of money thrown at clubs. You've got the BT money. You've got, you know, all this other money that comes in through sponsorships, revenues and whatnot. I think if you win the Bundesliga, you only stand to win, what, 30, 40 million pounds in prize money, if that? So is there some kind of different perception about the Premier League, how it used to be? Or is it mostly like, well, you know, it's just money now?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the perception that it is right now, that it's just money right now. I think you used to look at the Premier League, say, 10 years ago or 5, 6, even 6 years ago, and you used to look at the Premier League and used to say the best league in the world without a shadow of a doubt. Now, slowly, it's slowly becoming into, like, it just a, this team has money, this team has money, every team has money, and it's not really improving. You're just spending too much money on average players, too much money on players that aren't world-class levels. And ultimately, they're just wasting money. That's what it feels like right now.
That's a fair point. Well, Prince, if I let you go, mate, tell our listeners about your show, because I know we've got a lot of Bayern Munich fans, especially in Australia. Would you like to tell them more about what you do?
Well, I do Bayern reviews, Bayern reactions, Bayern previews. My whole channel is basically about Bayern in a nutshell. Been doing it for about a year and a half now and planning on doing it for much longer.
Fantastic. And what's your numbers like? Because I know you do get a lot of fans, especially in the UK. I'm quite surprised that there's actually a lot of Bayern fans living out here.
Yeah. It's actually kind of surprising because I saw somebody on the street a couple of weeks ago and they recognised me, and I was actually kind of confused. Confused living in the UK and meeting Bayern fans. So it's very nice. Currently, I'm at, I think, 850 roughly subscribers. So we're going and it's looking great.
Fantastic. Well, Prince, look, I wish you all the best, mate. Really hope your channel, it gets much, much bigger. And listen, if you ever fancy coming back on the show, you're more than welcome to come on. We're going to do an end of season review. It'll be great to have you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic. It's an absolute pleasure. Do you want to tell our listeners your Twitter handle before I let you go?
At Mirzanmir TV.
Fantastic. Have you got a Facebook group page or anything like that?
No.
You have one soon. You have one soon. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, guys, that was Prince from Mirzanmir TV. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We also have a Facebook group page. Don't forget to follow our friends over at the FNX Network, at FNX Network, and My Sportswear, at My Sportswear One. And we'll be back sometime soon. Take care.
Bye.